I have now turned the cassette tape number 5 over to side B and will back up the big tape on the woolen sack just a little bit and then start recording again.
Yeah, that's
super.
Important.
Blast in the face. That was Randall.
Well,
that was Randall. I had to pull that out of his shirt.
The guy that was always doing things to
himself. Then we had outdoor plumbing man, and Randall went to sleep in the outhouse, and we didn't know where to find him. We looked. We looked everywhere but there.
I can remember that. I can remember how impatient the cross Mom was getting because the rest of us hadn't been looking after our little brother.
And I thought, well, there's one place they haven't looked. And I remembered he went out there and turned up there. He fell asleep. So I was running up and down that ditch. I didn't tell him the ditch was done. Boy, that was awful. When I found that screaming landlord in me.
Oh, yeah, and then I heard a little weak voice. That's what happened. Yes, he was just coming out of the street, down the street, and down the ditch, bang down the east bone, and he quit. And boy, if that wasn't terrible, son, I'd be irrigations.
Irrigating
his bowel. You just starved him to death. She'd call him on the phone and say, well, he'd call up and say, well, go ahead and do the same thing today. Irrigate his bowels. Finally got sick.
He started feeding and he got better. You just can't tell.
I can remember being in a water fight with neighbor kids and dropping a bottle on my foot. I still got a scar about that long right here on my foot today. Do you remember that?
Where was
the name? Well, that was on Jefferson, 15th and Jefferson.
Yeah.
And I remember you wanted me to take me to the doctor and get it sewed up, but I didn't like the idea, and I said, glued together with scotch tape, or it's not an easy tape.
Were you playing with ejaculation at the time?
I imagine.
That happened.
We used an easy tape, but it left a big scar. It might have been better to sew it up. Seems to me that I can remember us getting a telephone there, and I can remember talking to Grandpa Hall on the telephone.
Well,
wasn't the telephone on the east wall of the living room?
Of Jefferson.
People didn't have telephones much in those days. How come we had one?
I had to call a doctor to mess about another
day. Didn't cost too much for telephone in those days. Hour and a half a month, something like that.
Well, then we used to go swimming, too, in Mill Creek that ran nearby.
Oh, that big ditch.
I didn't know if he went swimming there or not. I know he went swimming when we got down
there. Maybe I didn't, but I think we saw other people going swimming there. Who are the neighbors that lived in that neighborhood?
The Weeks and Joneses and Larsons and
the man
that had the store. Can't think of his name. Was his name Slade? Something like that, wasn't it?
Wasn't there a Jones nearby?
Jones to the north of us.
Was it the first
next door?
First house north?
First house north.
And who's that lady that lived across the street?
Some people lived across the street there. I can't think of their name.
And somebody kitty corner across the street had a goat, didn't they? I can remember that goat.
You just had to keep it tied up, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Metz. Yeah. That was Metz. Metz who lived across the street from us.
Well, now, didn't the 7th Ward used to have an old recreation hall on 12th Street in Jefferson or somewhere?
That's right.
That's right. It seems to me that there were holes in the roof or something. I remember going there to a party when we were kids.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you remember anything about it or not. You must have taken me or Jean and I.
Yeah, they must have taken you over there for the same age party.
Costumes and things like that. Anyway, I remember thinking it was really great.
Mm-hmm.
They tore that down, though, I guess.
Oh, yes. They have a recreation hall right on the spot now, right next to the chapel. But they didn't have any recreation hall when we were living there, next to the chapel. You got a fine brick structure there. More modern than the chapel is. Bishop Budge was bishop then at the time. He came to me one day and says, Howard, would you like to transfer to the office of 70? And I started making excuses. You know, I didn't think I was worthy to be a 70. And he says, well, do you want to be a 70? I said, yes, I do, Bishop. Yes, I do.
He's now a state patriarch?
He's a patriarch now. And he's the vice president of the Commercial Security Bank.
He was working there then, I guess, when he was 50.
Yes, yes, he was. Well, he was working at, wasn't called the First Security then. The bank that he worked in first was in the Kiesel building. In the offices. The Standard Examiner has those offices now, where the bank was at that time. I remember I used to dream I was smoking. And it was just seemed like it was natural.
This was after you joined the church in class,
yeah,
huh?
After I joined the church. That was when we were living on 16th and on Jefferson Avenue.
Did you
dream when
you dreamed
of the star? So I dreamed one night I was coming north on Washington Avenue from 25th Street on the west side. And I was smoking a cigar, and as I got in front of the Commercial Security Bank, the bishop stepped out on the street.
That was a bad dream.
And I said, well, Bishop, I just can't help it. I said, I just can't quit smoking.
That was on you.
Is that where you'd wake up?
Yeah, and then I woke up. It just seemed like I was walking down the street there.
You
my subconscious, no, I never had any trouble. I never did
only
have any trouble. Only in... In my dreams at night, in my waking hours, it didn't bother me at all. So I guess I was blessed in that way.
I think you told me when I was a kid that when you decided to quit smoking, you just quit.
That's all it's true. It's like that.
Never smoked again, is that right?
Never smoked again.
I can remember when I was a kid, too, that you taught us not to drink Coca-Cola. You got the Word of Wisdom down a lot better than many of our friends, many of my friends as I grew up.
You know, long before I was in the church, I had a drink of Coca-Cola one day and I thought that was the rottenest stuff I'd ever drank. My gosh, I never want any more of Coca-Cola. That one drink was enough for me and I never drank any since.
Did you ever have any serious illnesses during your life, Dad? I remember you as always being pretty healthy, is that right?
You know, I was never in the hospital until I was in the Camp Lewis with the flu. First time I went to a hospital. I had an adenoid cut out one time in the nose here.
What's that? Yeah, that's when you were young?
Yeah, I was in the 20s when I had that done. But that's the only time I ever went to a doctor. Well, we went to Dr. Perkins one time. They cut out an ingrown toenail. I never did have anything serious. I never had a broken bone until after I was married. And when I was out at the arsenal, jumping off the car, stepped onto a stick and broke my ankle.
What year was that?
And I never had a broke my ankle. And I was living on 27th Street then. That was when I was on 27th Street. 526, 27.
Didn't you
on the National Railroad?
Were you picking cherries on welfare business once when you broke a leg or arm? Or what was that?
Oh, that's when I broke my ankle. Getting these things wrong. Yeah, and I stepped on that stick out at the arsenal. I threw my kneecap out.
At the arsenal, you just threw your kneecap out.
Yes.
Well, now, how'd you break your ankle?
I was out of North Ogden, up an apricot tree, and I had a ladder with one leg on it, you know, for the Jews were picking fruit in orchards. And the ladder gave way with me, and an old rickety ladder gave way with me, and I fell to the ground and broke my ankle.
That must have been about 1938 or 9.
About 1939, I suppose. I went out there to help on the welfare plan. Called for helpers and went out and helped them. I had my ankle in the cast for 5 or 6 weeks. Wasn't very, about 5 weeks, I guess. But when I threw my right kneecap out at the arsenal and went to Dr. Jensen, he said, well, it'll be necessary to put your leg in a cast for 3 months. I said, no, you won't put my leg in a cast. Jensen, I said, I'll take care of it myself. So I went down to Kammerer's sports store, and I bought me an elastic sleeve and put that over my knee and worked every day and didn't have any trouble with it at all. I haven't had any trouble with it since. I sat at the arsenal. At the arsenal, I went to throw a switch, and the switch had been run through, you know, and it had spiked it down.
This was a railroad switch.
Yeah, a railroad switch. Well, it was spiked down, I couldn't throw it over. I reached down and threw it over, you know. It didn't give. And a couple of ribs broke.
What year was that?
That must have been about 41.
Did you have to do anything about fixing
it? I went to Dr. Jensen, he put tape to it, and I worked every day. So that's a broken ankle, 2 broken ribs, and kneecap out. When I was a boy, I used to make wagons. And I hadn't.
This was a full-size wagon?
No, it was just a small wagon, modeled after the wagons that were in use in those days. It had a reach to hold the frame, that is, it was a framework for the box that went onto the wagon. Had a the front part had a kink in it. I wish I could
draw a picture, huh?
I wish I could draw a picture of it. Had a kink in the front. The front wheels would turn, and this would be stationary holding the box of the wagon. You know.
Uh-huh.
And it had the pieces on the side. And on the rear wheels, too, to hold the box on the frame. And it had the front wheels would turn, and it had this part on the front wheel would turn so far until it hit the reach.
Uh-huh.
And then the wagon would turn around. That way, without the wheels, wouldn't go. We'd go back just as far as the wagon bed, turn 400 as the wagon bed.
What would you use for wheels?
They had wheels that they made for boys' wagons in those days. They were about a foot high. In the reach of the wagon, I would get a bolt heated in the fire and bore the holes. Where the holes through the reach for that red hot iron.
I see.
And put the tongue on there. The part that the tongue could on come into the shut it off in there. The red hot iron.
What age was this when you were making these wagon?
Oh, I was 8 or 9 years old.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you get the wood? You mentioned that. Railroad slats?
Yeah, I picked up the wood along the railroad tracks.
What kind of tools did you have? Did you have just a saw?
I had a hammer and a saw.
Bored the holes with a hot bolt.
With a hot bolt. And then I'd get a 5 gallon can and build fire under it. But get it corked and put and the steam would come out there out of the can here and blow against these and turn around.
That water in the can, steam boiler then, huh? Turn it around.
Get a 5 gallon can, put a fire.
A turbine wheel?
Put a turbine wheel on it. Steam would come out, there's a hole in the can at the top here, you know, just blow them pedals around.
Mm-hmm.
Around the circle. Boy. I had pigeons and rabbits when I was a boy.
What kind of pigeons?
Fantail pigeons. And pink eye rabbits.
Yeah, you must have had a big enough place to keep things like this.
Yes, I had a large enough backyard to take care of them. Used to get a lot of fun out of raising rabbits and pigeons. We should sell some. We had
your brother Sam?
Brother Sam, he had chickens. Chickens lived in the backyard. He had chickens and I had the rabbits and pigeons.
Chickens for laying eggs or just
yeah,
for fun?
Chickens for laying eggs.
Did you have a cow in those
no,
days?
No, no cow. I didn't have any cow.
Buy milk?
They bought the milk. They used to bring the milk around. Milkman would bring milk around in big 5 gallon cans.
Just some out for you?
We'd have a large bucket
when he came to the house, I bring out a large bucket, he'd fill that full of milk.
Mm-hmm.
And pour the milk out of the cans into a measure, a gallon measure,
mm-hmm.
four quarts on it, or he could sell you a pint, or a quart, or 2 quarts.
Mm-hmm.
And you get it in these large buckets. You didn't have any containers that they sold it in those days.
Was this pasteurized?
No, it wasn't pasteurized. This gray man came from Riverdale. His name was Bingham. He used to come every day with the milk.
Mm-hmm.
And, no pasteurization or nothing those days. It seemed to get along all right on it. Thrived on the milk. The people used to make their own ice cream. The first man in Ogden to make ice cream for commercial purposes was Mr. Brown Ice Cream Company.
Mm-hmm.
It started out in a small way and eventually made a large business out of it. Sold ice cream. Went for miles around selling ice cream in different towns, you know. So first ice cream used to deliver it in a little wagon pulled by hand. Sold it around the stores.
Did you have ice boxes in your home? And
had ice boxes in those days. The ice man used to bring ice when you wanted every day or every other day, according as you needed it. Didn't have any freezers like you have today. Used to get the ice cream and or used to get ice and break it up into small pieces and use it in the ice cream freezer to freeze your ice cream with.
They talk about ice cream and Mr. Brown, who made what was called Brown's Ice Cream, he made a commercial venture out of it. That's where this tape ends, and I have turned, I'm talking about that's where these 7-inch cassette tape, or 7-inch reels ended. And I turned it over on the other side, and there was nothing on the other side. So this is definitely the end of the tapes. This is Tracy Hall. I just finished the taping at 3:07 on May 11th of 1996. I have one more thing to do. I've got to rewind all of these tapes and get them in proper order.